And look, I do hope you feel, as a result of RN's focus this past week, that you've been reminded of some of the sheer dramas, big and small, the creativity of those times 10 years ago this weekend, which ushered in what we now know as the GFC. As you know, crisis brings huge risk plus opportunity. And my Sunday Extra colleague, Hugh Rimmington, had a rather cute first-hand experience of this by watching one particular Hong Kong businessman's versatility, shall we say, during those incredible days in September, October 2008. And I just couldn't resist letting you in on the anecdote with all its personal perspective. Hugh, welcome.
Hello, Geraldine.
You were working in Hong Kong at the time for CNN, weren't you?
I was indeed. So I had the pleasure on one hand of being live on air as the indices would open across Asia and seeing them drop at one stage up to 10% in an hour, which is quite, you know, hair-raising. There was a certain point when you were looking at the indexes coming in on the screens and they suddenly went back up again and you thought, oh, hang on, something's going on. And then you realize they dropped so far that there was an automatic reset to the previous night's close.
Wow. Yeah.
They'd gone down so far that even the computer systems, they were just not set up to imagine such a circumstance.
Actually, it was quite an epicenter of panic, Hong Kong, as I recall.
Well, it was a financial center, and particularly being so attached to China, which was, you know, one of the big stories. It was a massively growing area. And, of course, you've got the Japanese market. It was really the place where you realized that what was happening in Wall Street was a truly global phenomenon. And you're looking at trillions of dollars basically disappearing. You know, it was remarkable, really. It is one of those moments where even at 10 years distance, it is still hard to comprehend what an abyss it was.
So tell us about this particular businessman.
So I set off. I don't know how I found this guy, but there was a charming Chinese businessman, and he ran a little business in not far from where the CNN studios were. And his business was to buy secondhand prestige and luxury cars. It was a small little thing. He was no flash tycoon. But what had happened is that Hong Kong, being a finance center, you had all these people from virtually every major global bank had a presence in Hong Kong. And suddenly they were all, you know, their faces were white with shock. People were losing their jobs. They were getting called back to head office, you know, were being made redundant. And of course, all these flash Harrys drove magnificent cars or had drivers to drive them around in magnificent cars. And they all had to be dumped. So this character realized that he was onto a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and he was buying late-model Bentleys and convertible Rolls-Royces and fabulous, you know, Mercedes-Benzes and Porsches and all these sort of things. And he was buying them for the price. I remember at the time, he was buying them for the price of a Toyota Camry. You could have picked yourself up a turbo Bentley, because there was no one buying this gear except for this guy. He could set whatever price he wanted, because all the potential buyers
were
bailing
out.
Same flat panic at the same time. And I said, what are you going to do? Where are you putting them all? And he said, come with me. And he walked around the corner. He'd actually hired out the top five floors of a massive commercial car park building. And he took me up there, and there they were, bumper to bumper, magnificent cars, collectible Rolls-Royce Corniches from the 1960s that had previously been doubtless ornamenting someone's mansion up on the peak or whatever it was. And he was literally just handing over cash to these people, and they were happy to take it and then head for the airport or whatever they were doing. And I said, now what are you going to do with them? Because, you know, everyone thought at that stage it could be a decade, could be forever before anyone would be buying these cars again. He said, no, the market will turn. It always does. And people will want to buy these cars back. And of course, he was right, because one of the things that happened was that as the world fell off the cliff, the Chinese activated this massive, the Chinese central government activated this massive stimulus. And then everyone realized that the only place in the world where there was real, genuine, big money activity and growth was still coming out of China. And all those finance, all the banks suddenly wanted back into Hong Kong. And doubtless my man made his killing.
Isn't that a gorgeous story? And they all start to rush back. Look, you just told me that tale and I just thought it had to be shared, because it does really give put flesh on the bones of what can sometimes, I think, seem a bit arcane for people.
Yeah, and I love the way that in any disaster, there's always someone going, oh, this is nice. This is working.
Right, back to Rhett Butler and, you know, the fall in the Civil War and Gone with the Wind. And look, you'll be bookending RN's coverage tomorrow on Sunday Extra, won't you, with a roundtable with some fresh voices probing how business people consider it affects their future plans.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a lot of doubts about how solid things are globally at the moment. So we're going to poke around at that. We're going to look a little bit at the last 10 years. We've got Adam Tooze, who's a brilliant economic historian, talking about what he thinks were, among other things, the political consequences, you know, Trump and Brexit, etc., which he ties back down into what happened 10 years ago with the collapse of Lehman Brothers and so on. But also looking ahead, you know, where is the next cataclysm? Can we tell? What might it look like? What are the things we should be worried about?
Sounds fabulous. Thank you very much indeed, Hugh, for that.
Thanks for the opportunity.